Chapter 19. Eleanor. When she woke up that morning, she felt like it was her birthday. Like she used to feel on her birthday, back when there was a shot in hell of ice cream. Maybe her dad would have ice cream. If he did, he'd probably throw it away before Eleanor got there. He was always dropping hints about her weight. Well, he used to anyway. Maybe when he stopped caring about her altogether, he'd stopped caring about that, too. Eleanor put on an old striped men's shirt and had her mom tie one of her ties, like knot it, for real, around her neck. Her mom actually kissed Eleanor goodbye at the door and told her to have fun, and to call the neighbors if things got weird with her dad. Right, Eleanor thought. I'll be sure to call you if Dad's fiancé calls me a bitch and then makes me use a bathroom without a door. Oh, wait. She was a little nervous. It had been a year, at least, since she'd seen her dad, and a while before that. He hadn't called at all when she lived with the Hickmans. Maybe he didn't know she was there. She never told him. When Richie first started coming around, Ben used to get really angry and say he was going to move in with their dad, which was an empty effing promise, and everyone knew it, even Mouse, who was just a toddler. Their dad couldn't stand having them even for a few days. He used to pick them up from their mom's house, then drop them off at his mom's house while he went off and did whatever it was that he did on the weekend, presumably lots and lots of marijuana. Park cracked up when he saw Eleanor's tie. That was even better than making him smile. "I didn't know we were getting dressed up," he said when she sat down next to him. "I'm expecting you to take me someplace nice," she said softly.
"I will," he said.
He took the tie in both hands and straightened it.
"Someday."
He was a lot more likely to say stuff like that on the way to school than he was on the way home. Sometimes she wondered if he was fully awake. He turned practically sideways in his seat.
"So you're leaving right after school?"
"Yeah."
"And you'll call me as soon as you get there?"
"No, I'll call you as soon as the kid settles down. I really do have to babysit."
"I'm going to ask you a lot of personal questions," he said, leaning forward. "I have a list."
"I'm not afraid of your list."
"It's extremely long," he said, "and extremely personal."
"I hope you're not expecting answers." He sat back in the seat and looked over at her.
"I wish you'd go away," he whispered, "so that we could finally talk."
Eleanor stood on the front steps after school. She'd hoped to catch Park before he got on the bus, but she must have missed him. She wasn't sure what kind of car to watch for. Her dad was always buying classic cars, then selling them when money got tight. She was starting to worry that he wasn't coming at all. He could have gone to the wrong high school, or changed his mind, when he honked for her. He pulled up in an old Carmen Ghia convertible. It looked like the car James Dean died in. Her dad's arm was hanging over the door, holding a cigarette.
"Eleanor!"
She walked to the car and got in. There weren't any seat belts.
"Is that all you brought?"
he asked, looking at her school bag. "It's just one night," she shrugged.
"All right," he said, backing out of the parking space too fast.
She'd forgotten what a crappy driver he was. He did everything too fast and one-handed. Eleanor braced herself on the dashboard. It was cold out, and once they were driving, it got colder.
"Can we put the top up?"
she shouted.
"Haven't fixed it yet," her dad said, and laughed.
He still lived in the same duplex he'd lived in since her parents split up. It was solid and brick, and about a 10-minute drive from Eleanor's school. When they got inside, he took a better look at her.
"Is that what all the cool kids are wearing these days?" he asked.
She looked down at her giant white shirt, her fat paisley tie, and her half-dead purple corduroys.
"Yup,"
she said flatly.
"This is pretty much our uniform."
Her dad's girlfriend, fiancé, Donna, didn't get off work until 5, and after that she had to pick her kid up from daycare. In the meantime, Eleanor and her dad sat on the couch and watched ESPN. He smoked cigarette after cigarette and sipped scotch out of a short glass. Every once in a while, the phone would ring and he'd have a long, laughy conversation with somebody about a car or a deal or a bet. You'd think that every single person who called was his best friend in the whole world. Her dad had baby blonde hair and a round, boyish face. When he smiled, which was constantly, his whole face lit up like a billboard. If Eleanor paid too much attention, she hated him. His duplex had changed since the last time she was here, and it was more than just the box of Fisher-Price toys in the living room and the makeup in the bathroom. When they'd first started visiting him here, after the divorce but before Richie, their dad's duplex had been a bare-bones bachelor pad. He didn't even have enough bowls for them all to have soup. He'd served Eleanor clam chowder once in a highball glass, and he had only two towels. "One wet," he'd said, "one dry." Now Eleanor fixated on all the small luxuries strewn and tucked around the house. Packs of cigarettes, newspapers, magazines, brand-name cereal, and quilted toilet paper. His refrigerator was full of things you tossed into the cart without thinking about it, just because they sounded good. Custard-style yogurt, grapefruit juice, little round cheeses individually wrapped in red wax. She couldn't wait for her dad to leave so that she could start eating everything. There were stacks of Coca-Cola cans in the pantry. She was going to drink Coke like water all night. She might even wash her face with it. And she was going to order a pizza. Unless the pizza came out of her babysitting money. That would be just like her dad. He'd take you to the cleaners with fine print. Eleanor didn't care if eating all his food pissed him off or if it freaked out Donna. She might never see either of them again anyway. Now she wished she had brought an overnight bag. She could have snuck home cans of Chef Boyardee and Campbell's chicken noodle soup for the little kids. She would have felt like Santa Claus when she came home. She didn't want to think about the little kids right now. Or Christmas. She tried to turn the station to MTV, but her dad frowned at her. He was on the phone again. "Can I listen to records?" she whispered. He nodded. She had an old mixtape in her pocket, and she was going to dub over it to make a tape for Park, but there was a whole packet of empty Maxell tapes sitting on her dad's stereo. Eleanor held a cassette up to her dad, and he nodded, flicking his cigarette into an ashtray shaped like a naked African woman. Eleanor sat down in front of the crates full of record albums. These used to be both of her parents' records, not just his. Her mom must not have wanted any of them. Or maybe her dad just took them without asking. Her mom had loved this Bonnie Raitt album. Eleanor wondered if her dad ever listened to it. She felt 7 years old, flipping through their records. Before she was allowed to take the albums out of their sleeves, Eleanor used to lay them out on the floor and stare at the artwork. When she was old enough, her dad taught her how to dust the records with a wood-handled velvet brush. She could remember her mother lighting incense and putting on her favorite records, Judy Sill and Judy Collins and Crosby, Stills and Nash, while she cleaned the house. She could remember her dad putting on records, Jimi Hendrix and Deep Purple and Jethro Tull, when his friends came over and stayed late into the night. Eleanor could remember lying on her stomach on an old Persian rug, drinking grape juice out of a jelly jar, being extra quiet because her baby brother was asleep in the next room, and studying each record one by one, turning their names over and over in her mouth. Cream. Vanilla Fudge. Canned Heat. The records smelled exactly like they always had, like her dad's bedroom, like Richie's coat. Like pot, Eleanor realized. Duh. She flipped through the records more matter-of-factly now, on a mission, looking for Rubber Soul and Revolver. Sometimes it seemed like she would never be able to give Park anything like what he'd given her. It was like he dumped all this treasure on her every morning without even thinking about it, without any sense of what it was worth. She couldn't repay him. She couldn't even appropriately thank him. How can you thank someone for the cure or the X-Men? Sometimes it felt like she'd always be in his debt. And then she realized that Park didn't know about the Beatles.
Park. Park went to the park to play basketball after school, just to kill time. But he couldn't focus on the game. He kept looking up at the back of Eleanor's house. When he got home, he called out to his mom. Mom, I'm home.
Park, she called. Out here, in the garage.
He grabbed a cherry popsicle out of the freezer and headed out there. He smelled the permanent wave solution as soon as he opened the door. Park's dad had converted their garage into a salon when Josh started kindergarten and their mom went to beauty school. She even had a little sign hanging by the side door. Mindy's Hair and Nails. Minday, it said on her driver's license. Everyone in the neighborhood who could afford a hairstylist came to Park's mom. On homecoming and prom weekends, she'd spend all day in the garage. Both Park and Josh were recruited from time to time to hold hot curling irons. Today, his mom had Tina sitting in her chair. Tina's hair was wound tight in rollers, and Park's mom was squeezing something onto them with a plastic bottle. The smell burned his eyes. Hey, Mom, he said. Hey, Tina.
Hey, honey,
his mom said. She pronounced it with two N's. Tina smiled broadly at him.
Close eyes, Tina, his mom said. Stay close.
Hey, Mrs. Sheridan,
Tina said, holding a white washcloth over her eyes.
Have you met Park's girlfriend yet?
His mom didn't look up from Tina's head.
No, she said, clucking her tongue. No girlfriend, not Park.
Uh-huh, Tina said. Tell her, Park. Her name is Eleanor, and she's new this year. We can't keep them apart on the bus.
Park stared at Tina, shocked that she'd sell him out like this. Startled by her rosy take on bus life. Surprised that she was even paying attention to him and to Eleanor. His mom looked over at Park, but not for long. Tina's hair was at a critical stage.
I don't know about any girlfriend, his mom said.
I'll bet you've seen her in the neighborhood, Tina said, assuring. She has really pretty red hair, naturally curly.
Is that right?
His mom said.
No,
Park said, anger and everything else curdling in his stomach.
You're such a guy, Park, Tina said from behind the washcloth. I'm sure it's natural.
No, he said. She's not my girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend, he said to his mom. Okay, okay, she said. Too much girl talk for you. Too much girl talk, Tina. You go check on dinner now, she said to Park.
He backed out of the garage, still wanting to argue, feeling more denial twitching in his throat. He slammed the door, then went into the kitchen and slammed as much as he could in there. The oven, the cabinets, the trash.
What the hell's wrong with you?
His dad said, walking into the kitchen. Park froze. He could not get into trouble tonight.
Nothing, he said. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Jesus, Park, take it out on the bag.
There was an old-school punching bag in the garage, hanging way out of Park's reach.
Mindy!
His dad shouted.
Out here!
Eleanor didn't call during dinner, which was good. That got on his dad's nerves. But she didn't call after dinner either. Park walked around the house, picking things up randomly, then setting them down. Even though it didn't make sense, he worried that Eleanor wasn't calling because he'd betrayed her, that she'd know somehow. That she'd sense a disturbance in the force. The phone rang at 7:15, and his mom answered it. He could tell right away that it was his grandma. Park tapped his fingers on a bookshelf. Why didn't his parents want call waiting? Everyone had call waiting. His grandparents had call waiting. And why couldn't his grandma just come over if she wanted to talk? They lived right next door.
No, I don't think so, his mother said. 60 minutes always on Sunday. Maybe you think of 2020? No? John Stossel? No? Geraldo Rivera? Diane Sawyer? Park gently banged his head against the living room wall.
God damn it, Park, his dad snapped. What is wrong with you?
His dad and Josh were trying to watch the A-team.
Nothing, Park said. Nothing. I'm sorry. I'm just waiting for a phone call.
Is your girlfriend calling? Josh asked. Park's dating Big Red.
She's not...
Park caught himself shouting and clenched his fists.
If I ever hear you call her that again, I'll kill you. I'll literally kill you. I'll go to jail for the rest of my life and it'll break Mom's heart, but I will kill you.
His dad looked at Park like he always did, like he was trying to figure out what the fuck was wrong with him.
Park has a girlfriend?
He asked Josh.
Why do they call her Big Red?
I think it's because she has red hair and giant tits, Josh said.
No way, dirty mouth!
Their mother said. She held her hand over the phone.
You, she pointed at Josh, in your room, now. But Mom, A-team is on.
You heard your mother, their dad said. You don't get to talk like that in this house.
You talk like that,
Josh said, dragging himself off the couch.
I'm 39 years old, their dad said, and a decorated veteran. I'll say whatever the hell I want.
Their mother jabbed a long fingernail at his dad and covered the phone again.
I'll send you to your room, too.
Honey, I wish you would, their dad said, throwing a throw pillow at her.
Hugh Downs?
Park's mom said into the phone. The pillow fell on the floor and she picked it up.
No? Okay, I'll keep thinking. Okay, love you. Okay, bye-bye.
As soon as she hung up, the phone rang. Park sprang away from the wall. His dad grinned at him. His mom answered the phone.
Hello?
She said.
Yes, one moment, please.
She looked at Park.
Telephone.
Can I take it in my room?
His mom nodded. His dad mouthed, Big Red. Park ran into his room, then stopped to catch his breath before he picked up the phone. He couldn't. He picked it up anyway.
I got it, Mom. Thanks.
He waited for the click. Hello?
Hi,
Eleanor said. He felt all the tension rush out of him. Without it, he could hardly stand up.
Hi,
he breathed. She giggled. What? He said.
I don't know, she said. Hi.
I didn't think you were going to call.
It isn't even 7:30.
Yeah, well, is your brother asleep?
He's not my brother, she said. I mean, not yet. I guess my dad's engaged to his mom, but no, he's not asleep. We're watching Fraggle Rock.
Park carefully picked up the phone and carried it to his bed. He sat down carefully. He didn't want her to hear anything. He didn't want her to know he had a twin-sized waterbed and a phone shaped like a Ferrari.
What time's your dad coming home?
He asked.
Late, I hope. They said they almost never get a babysitter.
Cool. She giggled again.
What?
He asked.
I don't know, she said. I feel like you're whispering in my ear.
I'm always whispering in your ear, he said, lying back on his pillows.
Yeah, but it's usually about, like, Magneto or something.
Her voice was higher on the phone and richer, like he was listening to it on headphones. I'm not going to say anything tonight that I could say on the bus or during English class, he said.
And I'm not going to say anything that I can't say in front of a 3-year-old.
Nice.
I'm just kidding. He's in the other room, and he's totally ignoring me.
So, Park said.
So, she said. Things we can't say on the bus.
Things we can't say on the bus. Go.
I hate those people, she said.
He laughed, then thought of Tina and was glad that Eleanor couldn't see his face.
Me too, sometimes. I mean, I guess I'm used to them. I've known most of them my whole life. Steve's my next-door neighbor.
How did that happen?
What do you mean? He asked.
I mean... You don't seem like you're from there.
Because I'm Korean?
You're Korean?
Half.
I guess I don't really know what that means.
Me neither, he said.
What do you mean? Are you adopted?
No, my mom's from Korea. She just doesn't talk about it very much.
How did she end up in the flats?
My dad. He served in Korea. They fell in love, and he brought her back.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty romantic.
Eleanor didn't know the half of it. His parents were probably making out right now. I guess so, he said.
That's not what I meant, though. I meant that you're different from the other people in the neighborhood, you know?
Of course he knew. They'd all been telling him so his whole life. When Tina liked Park instead of Steve in grade school, Steve had said, I think she feels safe with you because you're like half girl. Park hated football. He cried when his dad took him pheasant hunting. Nobody in the neighborhood could ever tell who he was dressed as on Halloween.
I'm Doctor Who. I'm Harpo Marx. I'm Count Floyd.
And he kind of wanted his mom to give him blonde highlights. Park knew he was different.
No, he said. I don't know. You, she said, you're so cool.
Eleanor. Cool, he said. God, she couldn't believe she'd said that. Talk about uncool. Like the opposite of cool. Like if you looked up cool in the dictionary, there'd be a photo of some cool person there saying, what the F is wrong with you, Eleanor? I'm not cool, he said. You're cool. Ha, she said. I wish I were drinking milk, and I wish you were here so that you could watch it shoot out my nose in response to that. Are you kidding me? He said. You're Dirty Harry. I'm Dirty Harry? Like Clint Eastwood, you know? No. You don't care what anyone thinks about you, he said. That's crazy, she said. I care what everyone thinks about me. I can't tell, he said. You just seem like yourself, no matter what's happening around you. My grandmother would say you're comfortable in your own skin. Why would she say that? Because that's how she talks. I'm stuck in my own skin, she said. And why are we even talking about me? We were talking about you. I'd rather talk about you, he said. His voice dropped a little. It was nice to hear just his voice and nothing else, nothing besides Fraggle Rock in the next room. His voice was deeper than she'd ever realized, but sort of warm in the middle. He kind of reminded her of Peter Gabriel. Not singing, obviously, and not with a British accent. Where did you come from? He asked. The future.
Park. Eleanor had an answer for everything, but she still managed to evade most of Park's questions. She wouldn't talk about her family or her house. She wouldn't talk about anything that happened before she moved to the neighborhood or anything that happened after she got off the bus. When her sort of stepbrother fell asleep around 9, she asked Park to call her back in 15 minutes so she could put the kid to bed. Park ran to the bathroom and hoped that he wouldn't run into either of his parents. So far, they were leaving him alone. He got back to his room. He checked the clock. 8 more minutes. He put a tape in his stereo. He changed into pajama pants and a t-shirt. He called her back.
It so hasn't been 15 minutes, she said.
I couldn't wait. Do you want me to call you back?
No.
Her voice was even softer now.
Did he stay asleep?
Yeah, she said.
Where are you now?
Like, where in the house?
Yeah, where?
Why? She asked, with something just gentler than disdain.
Because I'm thinking about you, he said, exasperated.
So?
Because I want to feel like I'm with you, he said.
Why do you make everything so hard?
Probably because I'm so cool, she said.
Ha!
I'm lying on the floor in the living room, she said faintly, in front of the stereo.
In the dark? It sounds dark.
In the dark, yeah.
He lay back on his bed again and covered his eyes with his arm. He could see her, in his head. He imagined green lights on a stereo, street lights through a window. He imagined her face glowing, the coolest light in the room. Is that you too? He asked. He could hear Bad in the background.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite song right now. I keep rewinding it and playing it over and over again. It's nice not to have to worry about batteries.
What's your favorite part?
Of the song?
Yeah.
All of it, she said. Especially the chorus. I mean, I guess it's the chorus. I'm wide awake,
he half sang.
Yeah, she said softly.
He kept singing then, because he wasn't sure what to say next.
Eleanor. Eleanor, Park said. She didn't answer. Are you there? She was so out of it, she actually nodded her head. Yes, she said out loud, catching herself. What are you thinking? I'm thinking... I'm not thinking. Not thinking in a good way or a bad way? I don't know, she said. She rolled over onto her stomach and pressed her face into the carpet. Both. He was quiet. She listened to him breathe. She wanted to ask him to hold the phone closer to his mouth. I miss you, she said. I'm right here. I wish you were here, or that I was there. I wish that there was some chance of talking like this after tonight. Or seeing each other, like really seeing each other, of being alone together. Why can't there be? He asked. She laughed. That's when she realized she was crying. Eleanor, stop. Don't say my name like that. It only makes it worse. Makes what worse? Everything, she said. He was quiet. She sat up and wiped her nose on her sleeve. Do you have a nickname? He asked. That was one of his tricks, whenever she was put off or irritated, changing the subject in the sweetest way possible. Yeah, she said. Eleanor. Not Nora or Ella or Lena. You could be Lena or Lenny or Elle. Are you trying to give me a nickname? No, I love your name. I don't want to cheat myself out of a single syllable. You're such a dork. She wiped her eyes. Eleanor, he said, why can't we see each other? God, she said, don't. I'd almost stopped crying. Tell me, talk to me. Because... she said. Because my stepdad would kill me. Why does he care? He doesn't care. He just wants to kill me. Why? Stop asking that, she said angrily. There was no stopping the tears now. You always ask that. Why? Like there's an answer for everything. Not everybody has your life, you know, or your family. In your life, things happen for reasons. People make sense, but that's not my life. Nobody in my life makes sense. Not even me? He asked. Ha! Especially not you. Why would you say that? He sounded hurt. What did he have to be hurt about? Why? She said. Yeah, he said. Why? Why are you always so mad at me? I'm never mad at you. It came out a sob. He was so stupid. You are, he said. You're mad at me right now. You always turn on me, just when we start to get somewhere.
Get where?
Somewhere, he said. With each other. Like a few minutes ago, you said you missed me. And for maybe the first time ever, you didn't sound sarcastic or defensive or like you think I'm an idiot. And now you're yelling at me.
I'm not yelling.
You're mad, he said. Why are you mad? She didn't want him to hear her cry. She held her breath. That made it worse. Eleanor, he said. Even worse.
Stop saying that!
What can I say then? You can ask me why, you know. I promise I'll have answers. He sounded frustrated with her, but not angry. She could only remember him sounding angry with her once, the first day she got on the bus. You can ask me why, he said again. Yeah, she sniffed. Yeah. Okay. She looked down at the turntable, at her own reflection in the tinted acrylic lid. She looked like a fat-faced ghost. She closed her eyes. Why do you even like me?
Park. He opened his eyes. He sat up, stood up, started pacing around his small room. He went to stand by the window, the one that faced her house, even though it was a block away and she wasn't home, holding the base of the car phone against his stomach. She'd asked him to explain something he couldn't even explain to himself. I don't like you, he said. I need you. He waited for her to cut him down, to say, ha, or God, or you sound like a bread song. But she was quiet. He crawled back onto the bed, not caring whether she heard it swish. You can ask me why I need you, he whispered. He didn't even have to whisper. On the phone, in the dark, he just had to move his lips and breathe. But I don't know. I just know that I do. I miss you, Eleanor. I want to be with you all the time. You're the smartest girl I've ever met, and the funniest, and everything you do surprises me. And I wish I could say that those are the reasons I like you, because that would make me sound like a really evolved human being. But I think it's got as much to do with your hair being red, and your hands being soft, and the fact that you smell like homemade birthday cake. He waited for her to say something. She didn't. Someone knocked softly on his door. Just a second, he whispered into the phone.
Yeah, he said.
His mom opened his door, just enough to push her head through.
Not too late, she said.
Not too late, he said. She smiled and shut the door. I'm back, he said. Are you there?
I'm here,
Eleanor said. Say something.
I don't know what to say.
Say something so that I don't feel so stupid.
Don't feel stupid, Park, she said.
Nice. They were both quiet.
Ask me why I like you,
she finally said. He felt himself smile. He felt like something warm had spilled in his heart. Eleanor, he said, just because he liked saying it.
Why do you like me? I don't like you.
He waited. And waited. Then he started to laugh. You're kind of mean, he said. Don't laugh, it just encourages me. He could hear that she was smiling too. He could picture her, smiling.
I don't like you, Park,
she said again.
I...
She stopped.
I can't do this.
Why not?
It's embarrassing. So far, just for me. I'm afraid I'll say too much, she said.
You can't.
I'm afraid I'll tell you the truth.
Eleanor.
Park.
You don't like me? He said, leading her, pressing the base of the phone into his lowest rib.
I don't like you, Park, she said, sounding for a second like she actually meant it. I...
Her voice nearly disappeared.
Think I live for you.
He closed his eyes and pressed his head back into his pillow.
I don't think I even breathe when we're not together, she whispered. Which means, when I see you on Monday morning, it's been like 60 hours since I've taken a breath. That's probably why I'm so crabby and why I snap at you. All I do when we're apart is think about you, and all I do when we're together is panic, because every second feels so important. And because I'm so out of control, I can't help myself. I'm not even mine anymore. I'm yours. And what if you decide that you don't want me? How could you want me like I want you? He was quiet. He wanted everything she'd just said to be the last thing he heard. He wanted to fall asleep with, I want you, in his ears.
God, she said, I told you I shouldn't talk. I didn't even answer your question.
Eleanor. She hadn't even said anything nice about him. She hadn't told him that he was prettier than any girl, and that his skin was like sunshine with a suntan. And that's exactly why she hadn't said it, because all her feelings for him, hot and beautiful in her heart, turned to gobbledygook in her mouth. She flipped the tape and pressed play and waited for Robert Smith to start singing before she climbed up onto her dad's brown leather couch. Why can't I see you? Park asked. His voice sounded raw and pure, like something just hatched. Because my stepfather is crazy. Does he have to know? My mom will tell him. Does she have to know? Eleanor ran her fingers along the edge of the glass coffee table. What do you mean? I don't know what I mean. I just know that I need to see you. Like this. I'm not even allowed to talk to boys. Until when? I don't know, never? This is one of those things that doesn't make sense. My mom doesn't want to do anything that could possibly irritate my stepfather, and my stepfather gets off on being mean, especially to me. He hates me. Why? Because I hate him. Why? She wanted badly to change the subject, but she didn't. Because he's a bad person. Just trust me. He's the kind of bad that tries to kill anything good. If he knew about you, he'd do whatever he could to take you away from me. He can't take me away from you, Park said. Sure he can, she thought. He can take me away from you, she said. The last time he got really mad at me, he kicked me out and didn't let me come home for a year. Jesus. Yeah. I'm sorry. Don't be sorry, she said. Just don't tempt him. We could meet at the playground. My siblings would turn me in. We could meet somewhere else. Where? Here, he said. You could come here. What would your parents say? It's nice to meet you, Eleanor. Would you like to stay for dinner? She laughed. She wanted to say it wouldn't work, but maybe it would. Maybe. Are you sure you want them to meet me? She asked. Yes, he said. I want everyone to meet you. You're my favorite person of all time. He kept making her feel like it was safe to smile. I don't want to embarrass you, she said. You couldn't. Headlights shot across the living room. Damn, she said. I think my dad's home. She got up and looked out the window. Her dad and Donna were getting out of the Carmen Ghia. Donna's hair was a mess. Damn, she said. I never said why I like you, and now I have to go.
That's okay, he said.
It's because you're kind, she said, and because you get all my jokes.
Okay, he laughed.
And you're smarter than I am.
I am not.
And you look like a protagonist. She was talking as fast as she could think. You look like the person who wins in the end. You're so pretty and so good. You have magic eyes, she whispered. And you make me feel like a cannibal.
You're crazy.
I have to go. She leaned over so the receiver was close to the base.
Eleanor, wait, Park said.
She could hear her dad in the kitchen and her heartbeat everywhere.
Eleanor, wait. I love you.
Eleanor? Her dad was standing in the doorway. He was being quiet in case she was asleep. She hung up the phone and pretended that she was. Chapter 20. Eleanor. The next day was a blur. Her dad complained that she'd eaten all the yogurt. I didn't eat it. I gave it to Matt. Her dad only had $7 in his wallet, so that's what he gave her. When he was ready to take her home, she said she had to go to the bathroom. She went up to the hall closet, found 3 brand new toothbrushes, and shoved them into the front of her pants, along with a bar of Dove soap. Donna might have seen her. She was right there in the bedroom, but she didn't say anything. Eleanor felt sorry for Donna. Her dad never laughed at anyone's jokes but his own. When her dad dropped Eleanor off at her house, all the little kids ran out to see him. He gave them rides around the neighborhood in his new car. Eleanor wished she had a phone to call the cops. There's a guy driving around the flats with a bunch of kids hanging out of a convertible. I'm pretty sure none of them have seatbelts on and that he's been drinking scotch all morning. Oh, and while you're here, there's another guy in the backyard smoking hash. In a school zone. When their dad finally left, Mouse couldn't stop talking about him. After a few hours, Richie told everybody to put their coats on. We're going to a movie. All of us, he said, looking right at Eleanor. Eleanor and the little kids climbed into the back of the truck and huddled against the cab, making faces at the baby, who got to sit inside. Richie drove down Park Street on the way out of the neighborhood, but Park wasn't outside, thank God. Of course, Tina and her Neanderthal boyfriend were out. Eleanor didn't even try to duck. What was the point? Steve whistled at her. It was snowing on the way home from the movie. Short circuit. Richie drove slow, which meant that even more snow fell on them, but at least nobody flew out of the truck. Huh, Eleanor thought. I'm not fantasizing about being thrown from a moving vehicle. Weird. When they drove by Park's house again in the dark, she wondered which window was his.
Park.
He regretted saying it. Not because it wasn't true. He loved her. Of course he did. There was nothing else to explain everything Park felt. But he hadn't meant to tell her like that, so soon, and over the phone, especially knowing how she felt about Romeo and Juliet. Park was waiting for his little brother to change clothes. Every Sunday, they got dressed up in nice pants and sweaters and had dinner with their grandparents. But Josh was playing Super Mario and wouldn't turn it off. He was about to get to the Infinity Turtle for the first time. I'm going over, Park yelled to his parents. I'll see you there. He ran across the yard because he didn't feel like putting on a coat. His grandparents' house smelled like chicken fried chicken. His grandma had only 4 Sunday dinners in her repertoire: chicken fried chicken, chicken fried steak, pot roast, and corned beef. But they were all good. His grandpa was watching TV in the living room. Park stopped to give him half a hug, then went into the kitchen and hugged his grandma. She was so small, even Park towered over her. All the women in his family were tiny, and all the men were huge. Only Park's DNA had missed the memo. Maybe the Korean gene scrambled everything. That didn't explain Josh's hugeness, though. Josh looked like the Korean genes had skipped him altogether.
His eyes were brown and just barely almondy, almond-flavored. And his hair was dark, but not even close to black. Josh looked like a big German or Polish kid whose eyes kind of crinkled when he smiled. Their grandmother looked nothing but Irish. Or maybe Park only thought that because everyone in his dad's family made such a big deal about being Irish. Park got a Kiss Me, I'm Irish t-shirt every year for Christmas. He set his grandparents' table without being asked, because it had always been his job. When his mom got there, he hung out in the kitchen with her and his grandma and listened to them gossip about the neighbors.
I heard from Jamie that Park's going steady with one of those kids who live over with Richie Trout, his grandma said.
It shouldn't surprise Park that his dad had already told his grandma. His dad could never keep a secret.
Everybody talking about Park's girlfriend, his mom said, except for Park. I heard she's a redhead, his grandma said.
Park pretended to read the newspaper. You shouldn't listen to gossip, Grandma.
Well, I wouldn't have to, his grandma said, if you just introduce us to her.
He rolled his eyes, which made him think of Eleanor, which almost made him feel like telling them about her just so he'd have a reason to say her name.
Well, my heart goes out to any child living in that house, his grandma said. That Trout boy has never been any good. He smashed out our mailbox while your dad was in the service. I know it was him because he was the only one in the neighborhood with an El Camino. He grew up in that little house, you know, until his parents moved someplace even more redneck than here. Wyoming, I think it was. They probably moved to get away from him.
Tish, his mom said. Grandma was a little sharp for his mom's taste sometimes.
We thought he'd moved out west, too, she said. But now he's back with an older wife who looks like a movie star and a whole house full of red-headed stepchildren. Gil told your grandpa that they've got a big old dog living there, too. I never...
Park felt like he should defend Eleanor, but he wasn't sure how.
It doesn't surprise me that you have a thing for redheads, his grandma said. Your grandfather was in love with a redhead. Lucky for me, she wouldn't have anything to do with him.
What would Park's grandmother say if he did introduce her to Eleanor? What would she say to the neighbors? And what would his mother say? He watched his mom mash potatoes with a masher as big as her arm. She was wearing stone-washed jeans and a pink V-neck sweater with fringed leather boots. There was a gold angel charm hanging around her neck and gold crosses hanging from her ears. She'd be the most popular girl on the bus. He couldn't imagine her living anywhere but here.
Eleanor. She'd never lied to her mother, not about anything important, anyway. But on Sunday night, while Richie was at the bar, Eleanor told her mom that she might go over to a friend's house after school the next day. Who's that? Her mom asked. Tina, Eleanor said. It was the first name she thought of. She lives in the neighborhood. Her mom was distracted. Richie was late and his steak was drying out in the oven. If she took it out, he'd be pissed that it was cold. But if she left it in, he'd be pissed that it was tough. Okay, she said. I'm glad you're finally making friends. Chapter 21. Eleanor. Would he look different now that she knew that he loved her? Or that he had loved her, at least for a minute or two on Friday night, at least enough to say so. Would he look different? Would he look away? He did look different, more beautiful than ever. When she got on the bus, Park was sitting tall in the seat so she could see him, or maybe so that he could see her. And when he let her into the seat, he sat back down again against her. They both slouched down low. That was the longest weekend of my life, he said. She laughed and leaned into him. Are you over me? He asked. She wished she could say things like that, that she could ask him questions like that, even in a joking way. Yeah, she said. Over and over and over. Yeah? Yeah, no. She reached into his jacket and slipped the Beatles tape into his t-shirt pocket. He caught her hand and held it to his heart. What's this? He pulled the tape out with his other hand. The greatest songs ever written. You're welcome. He rubbed her hand against his chest, just barely, just enough to make her blush. Thank you, he said. She waited until they were at her locker to tell him the other thing. She didn't want anyone to hear. He was standing next to her and purposely bumping his backpack into her shoulder. I told my mom that I might go over to a friend's house after school.
You did?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be today, though. I don't think she'll change her mind.
No, today. Come over today.
Don't you have to ask your mom? He shook his head.
She doesn't care. I can even have girls in my room if I keep the door open.
Girls? You've had enough girls in your room to require a ruling?
Oh, yeah, he said. You know me.
I don't, she thought to herself. Not really.
Park. For the first time in weeks, Park didn't have that anxious feeling in his stomach on the way home from school, like he had to soak up enough of Eleanor to keep him until the next day. He had a different anxious feeling. Now that he was actually introducing Eleanor to his mom, he couldn't help but see Eleanor the way his mom was going to. His mom was a beautician who sold Avon. She never left the house without touching up her mascara. When Patti Smith was on Saturday Night Live, his mom had gotten upset. Why she want to look like man? It's so sad. Eleanor, today, was wearing her sharkskin suit jacket and an old plaid cowboy shirt. She had more in common with his grandpa than with his mom. And it wasn't just the clothes. It was her. Eleanor wasn't nice. She was good. She was honorable. She was honest. She would definitely help an old lady across the street. But nobody, not even the old lady, would ever say, "Have you met that Eleanor Douglas? What a nice girl." Park's mom liked nice. She loved nice. She liked smiling and small talk and eye contact, all things Eleanor sucked at. Also, his mom didn't get sarcasm. And he was pretty sure it wasn't a language thing. She just didn't get it. She called David Letterman the ugly mean one on after Johnny. Park realized that his hands were sweating and let go of Eleanor's. He put his hand on her knee instead. And that felt so good, so new, he stopped thinking about his mom for a few minutes. When they got to his stop, he stood in the aisle and waited for her. But she shook her head. "I'll meet you there," she said. He felt relieved, and then guilty. As soon as the bus pulled away, he ran to his house. His brother wouldn't be home yet. That was good. "Mom! In here!" she called from the kitchen. She was painting her nails a pearly pink. "Mom," he said. "Hey, Eleanor's coming over in a few minutes. My Eleanor. Now. Is that okay?"
"Right now?"
She shook the bottle. Click, click, click. "Yeah, don't make a big deal, okay? Just be cool."
"Okay," she said. "I'm cool."
He nodded, then looked around the kitchen and the living room to make sure there was nothing weird sitting out. He checked his room, too. His mom had made his bed. He opened the door before Eleanor knocked.
"Hi,"
she said. She looked nervous. Well, she looked angry, but he was pretty sure that was because she was nervous.
"Hey,"
he said. This morning, all he'd been able to think about was how to get more servings of Eleanor into his day. But now that she was here, he wished he would have thought this through. "Come on in," he said.
"And smile,"
he whispered at the second-to-last second. "Okay?"
"What?" "Smile."
"Why?"
"Never mind."
His mom was standing in the doorway to the kitchen. "Mom, this is Eleanor," he said. His mom smiled broadly. Eleanor smiled too, but it was all messed up. She looked like she was squinting into a bright light or getting ready to tell someone bad news. He thought he saw his mom's pupils widen, but he was probably imagining it. Eleanor went to shake his mom's hand, but she waved them in the air like, "Sorry, my nails are wet," a gesture that Eleanor didn't seem to recognize.
It's nice to meet you, Eleanor.
Eleanor?
It's nice to meet you, Eleanor said, still squinty and weird.
You live close enough to walk?
His mom asked. Eleanor nodded.
That's nice,
his mom said.
Eleanor nodded.
You kids want some pop? Some snacks?
No, Park said, cutting her off. Eleanor shook her head. We're just going to watch some TV, he said. Okay?
Sure, his mom said. You know where to find me.
She went back in the kitchen, and Park walked over to the couch. He wished he lived in a split level or a house with a finished basement. Whenever he went over to Cal's house in West Omaha, Cal's mom sent them downstairs and left them alone. Park sat on the couch. Eleanor sat at the other end. She was staring at the floor and chewing on the skin around her fingernails. He turned on MTV and took a deep breath. After a few minutes, he scooted toward the middle of the couch. Hey, he said. Eleanor stared at the coffee table. There was a big bunch of red glass grapes on the table. His mom loved grapes.
Hey,
he said again.
He scooted closer. Why did you tell me to smile?
She whispered.
I don't know, he said. Because I was nervous.
Why are you nervous? This is your house.
I know, but I've never brought anyone like you home before.
She looked at the television. There was a Wang Chung video on. Eleanor stood up suddenly.
I'll see you tomorrow.
No, he said. He stood up too.
What? Why? Just, I'll see you tomorrow, she said.
No, he said. He took her arms by the elbow.
You just got here. What is it?
She looked up at him painfully.
Anyone like me?
That's not what I meant, he said. I meant anyone I care about. She took a breath and shook her head. There were tears on her cheeks.
It doesn't matter. I shouldn't be here. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going home.
No, he pulled her closer.
Calm down, okay? What if your mom sees me crying?
That wouldn't be great, but I don't want you to leave. He was afraid that if she left now, she'd never come back.
Come on, sit next to me.
Park sat down and pulled Eleanor down next to him, so he was sitting between her and the kitchen.
I hate meeting new people, she whispered.
Why?
Because they never like me.
I liked you.
No, you didn't. I had to wear you down.
I like you now. He put his arm around her.
Don't. What if your mom comes in?
She won't care.
I care,
Eleanor said, pushing him away.
It's too much. You're making me nervous.
Okay, he said, giving her space.
Just don't leave.
She nodded and looked at the TV. After a while, maybe 20 minutes, she stood up again.
Stay a little longer, he said. Don't you want to meet my dad?
I super don't want to meet your dad.
Will you come back tomorrow? I don't know.
I wish I could walk you home.
You can walk me to the door.
He did.
Will you tell your mom I said goodbye? I don't want her to think I'm rude.
Yeah. Eleanor stepped out onto his porch. Hey, he said. It came out hard and frustrated.
I told you to smile because you're pretty when you smile.
She walked to the bottom of the steps, then looked back at him.
It'd be better if you thought I was pretty when I don't.
That's not what I meant, he said, but she was walking away. When Park went inside, his mother came out to smile at him.
Your Eleanor seems nice,
she said. He nodded and went to his room. No, he thought, falling into his bed. No, she doesn't.
Eleanor. He was probably going to break up with her tomorrow. Whatever. At least she wouldn't have to meet his dad. God, what must his dad be like? He looked just like Tom Selleck. Eleanor had seen a family portrait sitting on their TV cabinet. Park in grade school, by the way, extremely cute. Like Webster cute. The whole family was cute, even his white brother. His mom looked exactly like a doll. In The Wizard of Oz, the book, not the movie, Dorothy goes to this place called the Dainty China Country, and all the people are tiny and perfect. When Eleanor was little and her mom read her the story, Eleanor had thought the dainty China people were Chinese, but they were actually ceramic, or they'd turn ceramic if you tried to sneak one back to Kansas. Eleanor imagined Park's dad, Tom Selleck, tucking his dainty China person into his flak jacket and sneaking her out of Korea. Park's mom made Eleanor feel like a giant. Eleanor couldn't be that much taller than her, maybe 3 or 4 inches, but Eleanor was so much bigger. If you were an alien who came to Earth to study its life forms, you wouldn't even think the two of them were the same species. When Eleanor was around girls like that, like Park's mom, like Tina, like most of the girls in the neighborhood, she wondered where they put their organs. Like, how could you have a stomach and intestines and kidneys and still wear such tiny jeans? Eleanor knew that she was fat, but she didn't feel that fat. She could feel her bones and muscles just underneath all the chub, and they were big too. Park's mom could wear Eleanor's rib cage like a roomy vest. Park was probably going to break up with her tomorrow, and not even because she was huge. He was going to break up with her because she was a huge mess, because she couldn't even be around regular people without freaking out. It was just too much. Meeting his pretty, perfect mom, seeing his normal, perfect house. Eleanor hadn't known there were houses like that in this crappy neighborhood, houses with wall-to-wall carpeting and little baskets of potpourri everywhere. She didn't know there were families like that. The only upside to living in this effed-up neighborhood was that everybody else was effed up, too. The other kids might hate Eleanor for being big and weird, but they weren't going to hate on her for having a broken family and a broke-down house. That was kind of the rule around here. Park's family didn't fit. They were the Cleavers. And he'd told her that his grandparents lived in the house next door, which had flower boxes, for Christ's sake. His family was practically the Waltons. Eleanor's family had been messed up even before Richie came around and sent everything straight to hell. She would never belong in Park's living room. She never felt like she belonged anywhere, except for when she was lying on her bed, pretending to be somewhere else. Chapter 22. Eleanor. When Eleanor got to their seat the next morning, Park didn't stand up to let her in. He just scooted over. It didn't seem like he wanted to look at her. He handed her some comic books, then turned away. Steve was being really loud. Maybe he was always this loud. When Park was holding her hand, Eleanor couldn't even hear herself think. Everyone in the back of the bus was singing the Nebraska fight song. There was some big game coming up this weekend against Oklahoma or Oregon or something. Mr. Stessman was giving them extra credit all week for wearing red. You wouldn't think Mr. Stessman would be prone to all this Husker crap, but it seemed like nobody was immune, except Park. Park was wearing a U2 shirt today with the picture of a little boy on the chest. Eleanor had been up all night thinking about how he was probably done with her, and now she just wanted to put herself out of her misery. She pulled at the edge of his sleeve. "Yeah?" Park said softly. "Are you over me?" she asked. It didn't come out like a joke, because it wasn't. He shook his head but looked out the window. "Are you mad at me?" she asked. His fingers were locked loosely together in his lap, like he was thinking about praying. "Sort of." "I'm sorry," she said. "You don't even know why I'm mad," he said. "I'm still sorry." He looked at her then and smiled a little. "Do you want to know?" he asked. "No." "Why not?" "Because it's probably for something I can't help." "Like what?" he asked. "Like for being weird," she said. Or for hyperventilating in your living room? I feel like that was partly my fault. I'm sorry, she said. Eleanor, stop. Listen. I'm mad because I feel like you decided to leave my house as soon as you walked in. Maybe even before that. I felt like I shouldn't be there, she said. She didn't say it loud enough to be heard over the creeps in the back. Seriously, their singing was even worse than their shouting. I didn't feel like you wanted me there, she said, a little louder. The way Park looked at her then, biting his bottom lip, she knew she was at least a little bit right. She'd wanted to be all wrong. She'd wanted him to tell her that he did want her at his house, that he wanted her to come back and try again. Park said something, but she couldn't hear him, because now the kids in the back were chanting. Steve was standing at the back of the aisle, waving his gorilla arms like a conductor. Go, Big Red! Go, Big Red! Go, Big Red! She looked around. Everyone was saying it. Go, Big Red! Go, Big Red! Eleanor's fingertips went cold. She looked around again and realized that they were all looking at her. Go, Big Red! Realized that they meant it for her. Go, Big Red! She looked at Park. He knew it too. He was staring straight ahead. His fists were clenched tight at his sides. He looked like someone she'd never met. It's okay, she said. He closed his eyes and shook his head. The bus was parking in front of their school, and Eleanor couldn't wait to get off. She forced herself to stay in her seat until it stopped and to calmly walk forward. The chanting broke up into laughter. Park was right behind her, but he stopped as soon as he was off the bus. He threw his backpack on the ground and took off his coat. Eleanor stopped too. Hey, she said. Wait, no. What are you doing?
I'm ending this.
No, come on, it's not worth it.
You are, he said fiercely, looking at her. You're worth it.
This isn't for me, she said. She wanted to pull at him, but she didn't feel like he was hers to hold back. I don't want this.
I'm tired of them embarrassing you.
Steve was getting off the bus, and Park clenched his fists again. Embarrassing me? She said. Or embarrassing you? He looked back at her, stricken, and she knew again that she was right. Damn it! Why did he keep letting her be right about all the crappy stuff? If this is for me, she said as fiercely as she could, then listen to me. I don't want this. He looked in her eyes. His eyes were so green they looked yellow. He was breathing heavy, and his face was dark red under the gold. Is it for me? She asked. He nodded. He dug into her with his eyes. He looked like he was begging for something. It's okay, she said. Please, let's go to class. He closed his eyes and eventually nodded. She bent over to get his coat and heard Steve say, That's right, Red, show it off. And then Park was gone. When she turned to look, he was already shoving Steve back toward the bus. They looked like David and Goliath, if David had gotten close enough to let Goliath kick his ass. Kids were yelling, Fight! And running from every direction. Eleanor ran too. She heard Park say, I'm so sick of your mouth! And she heard Steve say, Are you serious with this? He pushed Park hard, but Park didn't fall. Park took a few steps back, then cranked his shoulder forward, spinning into the air and kicking Steve right in the mouth. The whole crowd gasped. Tina screamed. Steve sprang forward almost as soon as Park landed, swinging his giant fists and clubbing Park in the head. Eleanor thought that she might be watching him die. She ran to get between them, but Tina was already there. Then one of the bus drivers was there, and an assistant principal, all pushing them apart. Park was panting and hanging his head. Steve was holding his own mouth. There was a waterfall of blood on his chin. Jesus Christ, Park, what the fuck? I think you knocked out my tooth. Park lifted his head. His whole face was covered with blood. He staggered forward, and the assistant principal caught him.
Leave my girlfriend alone!
I didn't know she was really your girlfriend, Steve shouted. A bunch more blood spilled out of his mouth.
Jesus, Steve, it shouldn't matter.
It matters, Steve spat.
You're my friend. I didn't know she was your girlfriend.
Park put his hands on his knees and shook his head, splattering the sidewalk.
Well, she is.
All right, Steve said.
Jesus.
There were enough adults now to herd the boys to the building. Eleanor carried Park's coat and his backpack to her locker. She didn't know what to do with them. She didn't know what to do with herself, either. She didn't know how to feel. Was she supposed to be happy that Park had called her his girlfriend? It's not like he'd given her any choice in the matter, and it's not like he'd said it happily. He said it with his head down, with his face dripping blood. Should she be worried about him? Could he still have brain damage even though he'd been talking? Could he still stroke out or fall into a coma? Whenever anyone in her family was fighting, her mother would start yelling, "Not in the head! Not in the head!" Also, was it wrong to be so worried about Park's face? Steve had the kind of face that could take or leave teeth. A few gaps in Steve's smile would just add to the big, creepy goon look he was rocking. But Park's face was like art. And not weird, ugly art, either. Park had the sort of face you painted because you didn't want history to forget it. Was Eleanor supposed to be mad at him still? Was she supposed to be indignant? Was she supposed to shout at him when she saw him in English class, "Was that for me or for you?" She hung his trench coat in her locker and leaned in to take a deep breath. It smelled like Irish spring and a little bit like potpourri, and like something she couldn't describe any way other than boy. Park wasn't in English or history, and he wasn't on the bus after school. Neither was Steve. Tina walked by Eleanor's seat with her head in the air. Eleanor looked away. Everybody else on the bus was talking about the fight. Fucking Kung Fu. Fucking David Carradine. And fuck David Carradine. Fucking Chuck Norris. Eleanor got off at Park's stop.
Park. He was suspended for 2 days. Steve was suspended for 2 weeks because this was his third fight of the year. Park felt kind of bad about that, because Park was the one who'd started the fight. But then he thought about all the other ridiculous crap Steve did every day and never got busted for. Park's mom was so mad she wouldn't come get him. She called his dad at work. When his dad showed up, the principal thought he was Steve's dad. "Actually," his dad said, pointing at Park, "that one's mine." The school nurse said Park didn't have to go to the hospital, but he looked pretty bad. He had a black eye and probably a broken nose. Steve did have to go to the hospital. His tooth was loose, and the nurse was pretty sure he'd broken his finger. Park waited in the office with ice on his face while his dad talked to the principal. The secretary brought him a Sprite from the teacher's lounge. His dad didn't say anything until they were driving.
"Taekwondo is the art of self-defense," he said sternly.
Park didn't answer. His whole face was throbbing. The nurse wasn't allowed to give out Tylenol.
"Did you really kick him in the face?" his dad asked.
Park nodded.
"That had to be a jump kick."
"Jump reverse hook," Park groaned.
"No way."
Park tried to give his dad a dirty look, but any look at all felt like getting hit in the face with rocks.
"He's lucky you wear those little tennis shoes," his dad said.
"Even in the middle of winter. Seriously, a jump reverse hook?" Park nodded.
"Huh. Well, your mom is going to hit the goddamn roof when she sees you. She was at your grandma's house, crying when she called me."
His dad was right. When Park walked in, his mom was practically incoherent.
She took him by the shoulders and looked up at his face, shaking her head.
"Fighting,"
she said, stabbing her index finger into his chest.
"Fighting like white trash dumb monkey."
He'd seen her this mad at Josh before. He'd seen her throw a basket of silk flowers at Josh's head, but never at him.
"Waste,"
she said.
"Waste, fighting. Can't trust you with own face."
His dad tried to put his hand on her shoulder, but she shook him off.
"Get the boy a steak, Harold,"
his grandma said, sitting Park at the kitchen table and inspecting his face.
"I'm not wasting a steak on that," his grandpa said.
His dad went to the cupboard to get Park some Tylenol and a glass of water.
"Can you breathe?" his grandma asked.
"Through my mouth," Park said.
"Your dad broke his nose so many times, he can only breathe through one nostril. That's why he snores like a freight train."
"No more taekwondo,"
his mom said.
"No more fighting."
"Mindy," his dad said. "It was one fight. He was sticking up for some girl the kids pick on."
"She's not some girl," Park growled.
His voice made every bone in his head vibrate with pain.
"She's my girlfriend."
He hoped so, anyway.
"Is it the redhead?"
his grandma asked.
"Eleanor," he said. "Her name is Eleanor."
"No girlfriend, no,"
his mom said, folding her arms.
"Grounded."